Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you caught me doing some last-minute adjustments here right now. I'm trying to send a text message to Jared. I don't even know if I can do it. Jared, Jim Kraft just sent me a good video, too big for me to send out. If I send it to you, I don't know if you can make that thing playable or not. I'm going to send it to you. We'll see what happens here. Morning, folks. Okay, that video is too long. I don't know how Jim did it. I can't get it. Got last minute. I can't make it work. Hey, welcome. Good morning. It's the 22nd of October, 2018. Catching my breath a little bit. Been a busy. Sorry to be looking at my phone. That's very, very rude. It's just like going out to eat with people, though, isn't it? They never look at you anymore. They look down here and do all this kind of stuff. But we're doing the same thing here this morning. Craziness. Had a great, great weekend in Marshfield and Milwaukee, and got some good clips and some good things to show you from there. But before we do that, man, I got to touch bases on a couple different things. Let me throw this out because it's the first thing popped in my head. Hey, Jim Kraft, I tried to share that video. It's just, you just sent it to me. I got to figure out how to shrink that thing down, and be able to get that out for everybody to see it. Hey, folks, you know what's going on with this caravan of people coming north, right? You do understand this, right? That I saw a video actually on Facebook today, an undercover video that these people were being transported in the back of semi trucks. They're not walking. You couldn't walk from Honduras. You couldn't walk from Honduras. But I couldn't walk from here to Cincinnati, Ohio. What are you talking? That's 150 miles. It's like 1,000 miles or something. I mean, we're so stupid, the stuff we believe, right? But chaos is really coming, man. We just got to. Are you watching any of those Trump rallies? Do you have any idea how overwhelming the support for Republicans are right now? Don't believe any of the stuff don't believe any of that blue, that green wave, that red, what? Don't even believe any of that stuff, folks. And part of it is just to stir up the enemy so that the enemy thinks they're going to win, and then at the end they don't win, and then they're going to be angry and out in the streets. And one of the things that they're trying to make happen is they want to put a lot of people on the border and then have Trump show up with the military and not let him in or something. They're hoping some people will get shot and killed. And we're talking about some evil, 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 evil people here. Let's not be ignorant of his devices. And you know, it's crazy because, again, they know how to divide and conquer our side, because our side will see these people trying to get across the border and our emotions will hit us. And, oh, we'll feel bad and Trump is mean and we can't have a border wall. You understand how the game's played. I know you do. One of the other things they try to do is one of those rules for radicals from Saul Alinsky is to overwhelm the system. So if 5,000 people show up at the border and want to come across the border, can you imagine what that scene's going to be like with the U.S. military or whoever else is down there? Oh, what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Hey, listen, got a lot, some things got to throw on the table here before we get into some really, really good stuff. Jim Kraft, God bless Jim Kraft. Now, I'm going to pause this a minute, and I want everybody to take a minute and say, thanks, Jim, or we appreciate you, Jim. Go ahead right now. Somebody go ahead and do that.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate it.
Be there soon, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Jim. We love you, Jimmy. Man, we love it. Jim just got back yesterday from having been down in Florida. Been down there about 7 days, 8 days. Finally came back, and Jim's put together a real good foothold for us down there, place to stay and all that stuff. He's worked really, really hard, is really tired, and he got back home yesterday and called me last night, just as I was going to bed, and told me he's going to go back on Wednesday. Amazing. I've offered to fly him. I hope he takes me up on that. I know why he doesn't want to fly, because he wants to take his chainsaw and all that kind of stuff. For him to drive 14 or 16 or 18 hours again. Jim's going to be down there. He's going to go back down. He's going to be on the ground again down there for through about November 15th. Now, as only the Lord can do it, Jim and his wife, Gwen, already had plans to be down in that area. Can you believe this? They already had plans to be down in that area, to house sit. November 1st through November 15th. And Jim has a lot of stuff to do up here, but he said, well, he got home. He said, no, Coach, I need to go down there. Mark Trump's going to go this weekend. Josh Mann is going to go down this weekend. Jim Kraft's going to be back down there. We're beginning right now, friends, to put together teams to go in down into that Panama City, Mexico City, Pensacola. It's not Pensacola, but we can fly into Pensacola, different areas down there. If you want to go, We've raised some money. I got somebody just sent me a great $1,700 donation yesterday on PayPal. We have money to help you get down there. We have money to take care of when you're on the ground. We have money for supplies. We need workers. We need workers. And Jim has agreed. See, I was kind of stymied, folks. My schedule. I'm not griping. Please understand, I'm not griping. My schedule's so booked the next 2 weeks. I'm really, really busy. And so it was hard for me to try to get some type of relief thing going on down in Florida when I'm not there. I don't have anybody on the ground. And I knew Jim was going to go down there, and I couldn't ask Jim Kraft to give up his whole life to go down and coordinate the thing. So, you know, Chad jumped in the other day, said, Coach, I'll coordinate it, but Chad can't coordinate it. He's in Texas. How's he going to coordinate it? So I spoke to Jim yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was. Yeah, I spoke to him yesterday as well. And he said, Coach, I got to go home. I got a lot of stuff I got to do, because I got to go back on the 1st. And he calls me last night and said, Coach, I'm going to go back down on Wednesday. I'd like to fly Jim down and make it a little bit easier for him. But listen, if you're out there and you want to go, I don't have a calendar in front of me. Let me pull my own up here real quickly. Calendar. If you, this is October. The 27th to 28th, Jim's going to have a crew down there. If we're looking for a crew, somebody who would like to go down the week of, I'm looking at my calendar, November 2nd or 3rd, or November 9th and 10th, or November even 16th and 17th. There's going to be plenty of work to be done there for quite a while. I suppose even the 23rd and 24th, although that's getting close to Thanksgiving, they're going to need help. So, listen, Jim said the other day on that little video we played that, come on, man, you won't get close to Jesus. Jim, I know you're in here. I just saw you logged in. Just fill us in, Jim, on how devastating it is down there. People want to know, what is it I can do when I get down there? I don't want to sit around I want to sit around and do something productive. Come on in here and talk to us, man, Jim.
Hey, Coach. nobody needs to thank me.
Well, we did it anyway.
I'm just one of the ants down there crawling around, trying to put that place back together. Like I've said before, it's just a big, broad, wide, looks like a area been bombed. The trees that are down on top of houses, across roads, across driveways, on cars. I drove one stretch of road to get to a house I was working on for a couple of days, 3.5 miles off the main highway. And I probably ran over, I don't know, 40, 50 power lines on that 3.5 mile stretch. They said somebody had it on Facebook, the power companies that have been in there, and they're in there from all these different states, that they've reset or set new over 6,000 electric poles. And they're still not done. And anyway, there's just a lot of cleanup yet to do. They call it the Chainsaw Army. I don't know. I mean, people on Facebook, if you get on there, they call it the Chainsaw Army, that people get on there and say, well, we need them here, we need them there. But anyway, there's plenty to do, and it's going to be a long haul. And, I'm looking for some reconstruction to happen, not just cutting trees out and stuff, but definitely we'll be doing that this weekend. We'll be probably chainsawing again and pulling trees out and stuff like that.
But, Jim, some people say, you know, I don't really have any skills. Well, it doesn't If they can pick up a tube of four and throw it in on a pile of trash, they can do something down there, can't they, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of it's cutting and dragging stuff to the street, getting it out to the street in a pile where when trucks come along, they can pick it up. It's a lot of manual labor and right now. And the weather down there, I think it's breaking right now. They say it might drop into the 70s this week, but it's been in the 90s. Listen, it was in the 90s this past week down there. It was 85 to 91 I had on my gauge. But anyway, so it's still hot down there, and we're hoping it'll break a little bit and be a little cooler weather to work in. But there's
a lot of people down there helping, but we have a unique way of doing it as well. And so we'll just explain to everybody, you got a place for them to stay, shower, eat, all that stuff, right, Jim?
Yes. We're going to be staying at a local church right there in Panama City, pretty big church, pretty good sized church. And they have showers and restrooms and even laundry. They have set up portable laundry trucks there in one of their parking lots. And they're also distributing food. And so they'll have some food to eat as well. But there is a curfew in Panama City. It's 7 a.m. Or 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And so, because there has been a lot of looting, that's going on as well. And so one reason I think that I set it up to stay there was so we wouldn't have to do the travel thing that everybody's doing from other towns west. It took us between 2 and 3 hours every morning to drive to get to Panama City, and the same thing when we left there to get back to where I was staying. And I'm trying to avoid that, so that's why we're going to stay right in the midst of it, and we won't have to fool with the travel.
So, folks, if you would like to go, maybe get a couple guys, maybe a buddy of yours will go with you, or maybe you can raise up some guys out of your church group or whatever. Anybody like to go down there and help? It's really going to be needed. So you just need to contact me at coach@coachdavelive.com, and I'll connect you to Jim. And hey, listen, Jim's a volunteer, man. He's like everybody else. You got a life going on, and you know he's got better things he could be doing than being down there helping people. But he's been really experienced with it. He did Herculean efforts for us when we went to down to New Orleans. Actually, it was Louisiana, and Jim's been around, man. He's done it. He knows what's going on, and He'll treat you well, and we would love to just put some boots on the ground. We've raised probably in the neighborhood of about $15,000, which sounds like a lot, but that isn't a whole lot. But it's enough that we can start putting an army on the ground down there. So yeah, you can get some warm weather. You can go jump in the ocean and swim a little bit if you want to. But it's a project for sure. Jim, we love you, man. Appreciate everything you're doing. And folks, this is what I see the Salt and Light Brigade being. A guy like this, Jim says, "Hey, listen, I'll take care of it." So we're trying to put men around you going to be able to help. Anybody have any questions they'd like to ask Jim about going down there or anything like that? If you don't want to, that's okay. But if you do, now would be a good time to do it. Okay, cool. Well, hey. Say, Coach, I can't get that. I got to get a bus ticket. We'll buy you a bus ticket. If you want to go, we'll get you down there. Promise you to do that. Okay. Also, I guess that's, I could go on and on. I don't want to get buried on that. Great place for you to be able to go. Hey, listen, we need to pray for Ray LeBlanc. Hey, Ray, come on in here a second. Ray just sent me a text last night. I got it. I don't know, Ray, why this didn't pop up on my phone yesterday. It didn't. Ray LeBlanc runs Rob Pugh's ministry resource center there in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And I'm going to show you some stuff in Marshfield here in a minute. And I'm going to tell you something. We cause no small stir in Marshfield, I promise you. Oh, my goodness. And they went door to door and handed out 2,000 door hangers, and different types of leaflets and videos and all kinds of stuff. They gave them away for free. So Ray LeBlanc knows that they're going to come knocking on the resource. Some of them are going to be coming and complaining to him today. But we need to lift Ray up. Ray, come on in here and tell us what's going on up there, what you expect, buddy.
Sure. We did get a lot of, Rob said he got a lot of positive calls when we were distributing the newspapers, but the graphics, we had undercover police down there trying to shut down us because of the graphic signs. They said they were
They hate those abortion pictures. They don't try to shut down the local theater when they're showing those killer movies. They don't shut those down. They don't shut down HBO when they're showing graphic stuff. They only show down. They only want to shut us down when they're showing graphic pictures of what's going on inside those stinking abortion clinics. But
amen, Coach. And the sad part too, Coach, is people that are within our own
the church
facility or church. Yeah, church
doesn't like it.
They don't like it, and they wouldn't come out and try to explain to them. And it rips. People just like yesterday in the service, I was explaining to them, they just want to praise and worship and praise and worship and not get outside and do anything. And I said, it's the same thing what happened during the Holocaust when that train went by and all those people were screaming. They just played the music louder. That's all they want to do. And so if we're running into that inside the walls, even more so outside the walls, we got a sign out there. We're just going to engage them, and it can turn into a good witness thing tool. A lot of people don't know.
Now listen, Ray, don't back down. Don't back down. Just tell them this, you know, say, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it hurts your children's eyes. I really, really am sorry about that. But they're slaughtering little children inside those places. They're slaughtering them. And the only way that we can wake people up is to show them what's going on. So you remember the Holocaust? Remember when they did that Nazi Holocaust and the world was shocked when they showed the pictures of the babies, of the bodies laying in the graves? They showed the pictures. That's when people woke up and understood what was going on. So you remember the lynchings, when they were doing the lynchings down in the 1960s? Remember when they got the water hoses out and squirted it on those black people? Remember when they police dogs loose on those black people, and people saw it and said, that's ridiculous. We can't let that go on. And say, amen. We feel passionately about the unborn, and we are not going to back down, and we're not going to apologize. They are killing babies in the shadow of the church. I wish I could be there and answer some of those questions. They need to be shamed. They need to be shamed when they come in there. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel about it.
I understand, and that's what I'm afraid. My temper is going to flare, and I just want to keep it somewhat under control. But I'd like to have a whole bunch of 180 Ray Comfort videos just to pass them out and make them watch it. But it'll work out. Just keep us up in prayer, and
we will.
Proud of the game. Thank you,
Rob. Hey, Rob, jump in here real quick, man. Jump in here, Rob. Rob Pugh worked his tail off, man. I'm telling you. And a lot of he put a lot of money into it too. Folks, listen to me. This just hit me. Dumb me. Everybody, listen to me, please. I'm talking to everybody in this queue right now. Everybody in this queue, for $50 a month. Is that what it is, Ray, Rob? $50 a month, $25 a month. You could send $25 a month to Rob Pugh. And every month he could send you 25 copies of the Wisconsin Christian News, and you could put those in various places throughout the town in which you live. Everybody watching right now could do that. That paper is unbelievable. It's a hard-hitting gospel paper, so hard-hitting that churches don't want anything to do with it. Rob, explain to everybody how they could do that, how they could subscribe to the Wisconsin Christian News and get a packet of 25 sent to them every month that they could distribute to people in their areas of influence.
Rob, you're muted.
You muted, Rob. Still can't hear you, Rob. You're muted.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, we have a few people doing that around the country already. OJ and Dorita down in Kentucky are one. And we also send out to Mike Spaulding and Dale Socha. And so, yeah, we're happy to do that. The remnant gets it, but the people stuck in their churches just will never get it, I'm afraid. So we're going around the churches to get the information directly to the people.
That's right. We're after the remnant, Rob. We wish the church would come. And folks, listen, we're not saying we're the only remnant. Please understand that. But you do know that not everybody in your church gets it. That's why you left your church, right? So those of us who are awake and understand, this newspaper is just, it would be a great, I feel stupid I haven't done this sooner. Rob, how much a month would it be, Rob, for them to get maybe 25 copies a month?
Well, it's a heavy paper, so we're talking $25 just for postage. So, but you know, we're happy to do that. So,
Rob, that was not an answer. How much would they have to give you? What do they have to donate to get 25 copies a month sent to them that they could hand out to their family and friends and pastors? How about that? How about if every pastor got one of those things? What would it cost, Rob?
$25.
For $25, Rob. No, wait a minute. You just said it costs $25 to ship it.
Yeah, we're not looking to get rich on this, Coach.
I'm not looking for you to get poor either. I don't want you to get poor either. All right.
Yeah.
You understand that, right?
Yeah. Yep. I know.
Okay. So, Rob, you're getting some feedback, I'm sure. Tell us, because I'm going to show some stuff here. We're going to get to it here. Tell us a little bit about this weekend from your perspective. Because Rob put this whole thing together, Marshfield 2 days, then we went down to Milwaukee for a day, I got some great video. What's your take, Rob?
Well, you know, all the feedback that I got after we did the distribution at the homes was positive. I didn't have one single negative call.
How many homes did you hit, Rob?
2,000.
2,000 homes.
I got about 15 phone calls and people wanting to know more information, you know, where at the mall do we go? What time is it? And
Rob, what were in the packets? 2,000 packets delivered, 2,000 homes in Marshfield. What were in those?
We had a gospel track from OSA. We had a great article from Jason Storms. We had information from every ministry that participated, information on abortion. We had DVDs on abortion, and we had David Arthur's tracks in there. All solid, good information. So,
did you have a Wisconsin Christian News in there?
Yep, we had a paper in there. And
how about
everybody,
that?
Everybody was glad to get it that I heard from. So,
2,000 people, 2,000. The group that came, they went door to door. Is this amazing? Ended up 2,000 of those. Now, Rob is just like in the books of Acts. He was causing no small stir, and we think that's a good thing. Wrap it up here, Rob.
Our greatest criticism came from good church going people. Mm-hmm. So,
what's their complaint?
Those are the ones that called the cops, and they agree with our message, but they don't want to see the visuals.
Yeah, well, I love what you're doing, Rob. I just don't appreciate the way you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
They're not doing anything, right?
They're not doing anything. They have no experience. They admitted in the press reports that, you know, I have limited experience, but I've never seen anybody change their mind on abortion by seeing these visual signs, these graphic signs. Well, yeah, because you have no experience in it, so you've never seen it. But we've seen it.
Well, Rob, not only that, how are we going to get people to go down to Florida? Why, Jim Kraft's going to show them pictures. Right?
Exactly.
You see pictures, yeah.
And it was the pictures that allowed us to have some very good conversations when we went to the university in Stevens Point.
Oh, I got some video to show today, folks. Man, oh, man.
And we have a good testimony also from a baby saved in Louisville, Kentucky, while we were doing our street work in Milwaukee. So,
how does that matter? What was Hillary saying? What did Hillary say? What does that matter now? No, what that wouldn't.
What difference does that make?
What difference
at this point does it make?
That's right. What difference does it make? So, folks, I want to say publicly, I can't say enough about the effort, the time, the money, the everything that Rob Pugh and his wife put into this was absolutely unbelievable. And I think that those of us in the huddle, the least we could do is to help Rob by at least subscribing to his newspaper, that you would get it monthly. But if you got some to hand out to others, it'd be a great blessing. You heard him say, we don't do this to get rich, and he isn't. He's doing it to get poor, I guess. I know how many people he let come on his own dime. I know. And you can only do that for so long. Appreciate you, Rob. You know what? I said to Rob on I don't know, one of those days, and I hope he takes it seriously. And I'm saying it to everybody that's watching now. Scripture says, Paul said to commit to faithful men. Faithful men. You know, we're in the mess that we're in this nation because their men aren't faithful. Men come and go. They blow in and they blow out. Men say they'll come and they don't come. Men say they'll do this and then they don't do this. Men come in for a while and then they get offended and they're gone. They're not faithful men. Faithful men. And as a guy that's kind of trying to pull this whole thing together with all these many different men ministries, I know Rob Pugh's a faithful man. He's never once sucked on his thumb. He's never once complained that it didn't go his way. He never once got sucked on his thumb that nobody noticed him. He never griped about money. He never did anything. He's a faithful man. There are a lot of them out there. Don Voss is a faithful man. I appreciate Don Voss. As soon as I start saying names, I just go on and on and on and on. Faithful men. Faithful Amen, men. Coach. Faithful men. Faithful men. You don't always get the football. You don't always win MVP. You don't always get to be most improved. You don't always get to do the interview. Faithful men. Jim Kraft is a faithful man. Faithful man. He gives his word and he does it. He's a faithful man. Mark Trump is a faithful man. He gives you his word and he does it. George Lewis is a faithful man. He gives you his word and then he does it. I got to stop because I'll forget something. They just popped into my head. Chad is a faithful man. He says he'll do it and he does it. And he doesn't care if he gets a badge for it. He doesn't care if he gets a helmet decal. He's a faithful man. We will not win this battle without faithful men. And I'm going to tell you this. It's hard to get anything done sucking on your thumb. Faithful men. That's what we need. Faithful men. Faithful. I can't say it enough. Faithful men. We can't do it without faithful men. Rob's a faithful man. Ray's a faithful man. Ray LeBlanc is a faithful man. The faithful man. I know a lot of them. Faithful men. Faithful.
Coach.
Yes.
I just want to publicly say that we put months of work into preparation on this, and we could not have done that without Ray's help.
Amen.
Ray is a faithful man.
Faithful man. Sorry. A faithful man. Now I got to look down and see who I
found. Real quick, Coach, the visionary Rob Pugh. When I was out there and looking at the crowd, none of us, you would not be there. Rusty would not be there. None of the speakers would have been there. If it wasn't for the visionary abject Rob put forth and the faithfulness of all the people that showed up from 30 different states, without that audience, it would never have happened. So God bless us all.
Penny Miller's a faithful man.
Yes, amen to Penny.
Faithful man, right? She's faithful. Huh? Serge is a faithful man. I'm looking down. The faithful men, boys and girls, we're in for the long haul. There's a mess coming. Dale Socia is a faithful man. Brian Cunningham's a faithful man. Say, what about me, Coach? Oh, well, you're faithful. If you're a faithful man, though, we appreciate it. Being a faithful man. Something to be said for that. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get fired up here. If I didn't say your name, it doesn't mean you're not faithful. All right? Brother. Huh? If I didn't say, don't quit sucking on your thumb. Jim's, look at this. Jim Kraft sent me all kinds of videos. I don't know what I'm going to do with them.
Hey, Coach, if you're a faithful man, you shouldn't have to have your name said.
Thanks. Thanks, Lord. I know. I understand that. But it matters, brother. It matters. It matters. Michelle Dobenmeyer's a faithful man. Man, is she faithful. Unbelievable the crap she puts up when she goes with me. She's a faithful man. Faithful. And a lot of times she says, well, golly, sometimes I don't feel like I'm doing anything at all. Sometimes, are you kidding me? You're a faithful man. You're there every time we go. And you put your hat on and your gloves on, and you're faithful, and you go. Lisa Pugh's a faithful man. She goes, and she doesn't complain, and she does, and she helps. Faithful men. We're not going to win without faithful men, and we will win with faithful men. Boy, that's an amen. Somebody ought to give me an amen on that one.
Super amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen. People don't need amen. To have. Yes, sir. Don't need to have. Don't need to see their name in the lights, man.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
I wish Ohio State had a faithful inside linebacker, just one inside linebacker that tackles somebody, a faithful man, an inside linebacker.
Hey, coach. Yes. We need some faithful men to RSVP for the November 3rd event. Most of my people are going, so I just wanted to give a shout out for that.
Well, here's what I'm telling you. Here's where I am. I'm working station to station to station here. So now that I'm back and I'm working on this thing in Florida, I thought, well, I'll show the calendar today. So now that'll get mixed up. We're going to show the calendar today, and we're going to start driving people towards Bethlehem, PA on November 3rd. Faithful men, we're going to raise up some faithful men there. We're going to make that a good event as well. So God bless you, Tanya. I hear you. We'll do our best to drive people there. All right, dear?
And, hey, Coach, the opposite.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
The opposite of the faithful man
Dale
is the faithful.
Dale Socha is a faithful man. Dale Socha is a faithful man. Go ahead, Dale.
Faithful. Matthew chapter, I think it's 25, talks about the parable of the talents, where one had the talents given to him. He said he buried them in the ground, his talents, because he knew that the Lord was a demanding man. And brother, the talents that are out there, if we don't engage those talents, God is going to look at us and what does he call us then? He calls us a wicked servant.
Yes, he does.
If we're not faithful, we're fateful.
Dale, that's good. I'm trying to put some of you in. Paul Webb's a faithful man. Trying to put some of you in. Jeff Klein's a faithful man. I'm trying to put people in the game here. Trying to quit worrying about yourself. You ought to look at my freaking schedule.
Hey, Coach.
I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to figure out where do I plug some things in. Come on, some of you faithful men. Yeah, come on
in. Coach.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, what you were talking about earlier with the churches up there in Wisconsin that were fighting you, that's just a microcosm of what's going to start happening. I don't know if you've been hearing Mark Taylor, some of his things that he's been saying. In fact, Sheila Zelensky has been banned on Facebook and YouTube. but he's been saying that there's this diabolical organization of churches. I forget what they call it, some kind of committee. And that's he said if Hillary Clinton had won, that organization would have been reporting people and, you know, FEMA, all that stuff. I believe it.
I've seen it, man. I've been out there. I see it. People sitting in their churches, they don't see it. You sit in your house, you're not seeing it. I'm telling you.
Well, that's just what we saw here in Oklahoma when George and I would go out to campaign for Dan Fisher. Same thing. We had more problem at old folks' homes were more receptive to our flyers than some of the churches.
Amen. Amen. Paul Webb's a faithful man. Jared's a faithful man. I could go on and on.
Coach is a faithful man.
Yeah, I'm faithful. I'm just doing my job. Shouldn't be patting on the back. We're just doing your job. Go ahead, Vinny. Coach,
it's not a pat on the back. It's just recognition because you do a good job. And every once in a while, it's nice to hear somebody appreciate that.
Yeah,
But these churches, oh my goodness! I mean, these churches welcome refugees and all this nonsense. And then, you know, our Christian way has been subverted. They're using our good nature against us. And what we have to do is just show them once again, Christians are not pushovers.
Amen, brother. We got to stand. Now's the time, baby. Larry's a faithful man. He must not be even in here today. And he'd normally be spouting in here, giving us his 2 cents worth. Larry's a
faithful man.
Who's that?
Mike Blake.
Mike Blake's a faithful man. Mike came to see at the poll yesterday. He showed up yesterday. A lot of faithful men out there. We can't win without faithful men. All right.
Mike Spaulding's a faithful man.
Mike Spaulding's a faithful man. A lot of them. Okay. Listen, I got to move on or I'll be on faithful men all morning. We won't get where I want to get. Jared, do it on my Facebook page. I'll talk more about meet you at the polls yesterday. Hey, can I tell you the truth? I'm going to take responsibility for it because I was out of town. I didn't really promote it much locally, so we didn't have a whole lot. You can't even get these blowhard churches. You can't even get their pastors out to pray. Blowhards, just friggin' blowhards, full of hot air. Shakespeare said, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Just blowhards, afraid that some Democrat in their crowd might get mad. Just blowhards. cowards. Go ahead, Serge. Coach,
talking about blowhards, I sent the flyer to 12 churches, and not one of them met me at the polls.
No, they're blowhards, Serge. They're blowhards. Praying for the rapture. Worse is better. Worse is better. Blowhards!
Hey, Serge, don't feel bad. I did the same thing.
Glenn's a faithful man. Glenn's a faithful man.
I didn't have, but we doubled our numbers. There were four of us there yesterday. So
awesome, man.
I'm thankful for that.
Unbelievable. Isn't it unbelievable? Listen, I know this. I've seen God do a lot of great things through very few people. And yesterday at that flagpole, we took authority over our county. We took authority back. Word says that whether two or more are gathered, he's right there in the midst of us. We reclaimed our area, and we're going to continue to do it. Praise the Lord.
I had four at my flagpole yesterday, but one of them is a gentleman that's running for state representative. His name is Ben Baker. He's also the mayor of Neosho, and he actually showed up. We can't get churches to show up, but I got Ben to show up, and now maybe I can get with Ben showing up and actually getting to see what we were doing. I think he's going to spread the word a lot more. So,
yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks, Kevin. You know, somebody said, Coach, you just got to stop criticizing the pastors. What?
Why should you do that? They're not doing their job. They've abdicated their responsibility. They need to be yelled at.
Have you guys been on Facebook and seen what people are saying about Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes? You know, people saying, criticizing him. But you can't criticize the pastor. Huh? He's got a fat, overweight, fat and sassy congregation sitting on their arse. And you can't criticize him? What are you talking about? Yeah,
Paul. That just shows what I was talking about last week. People are more excited about things that don't matter than things that do matter. They participate. They're a spectator.
Amen. They are, Paul. Hey, listen,
hey,
I got
coach.
Yeah.
Hey, I just add a little. Hearing you, there's so many things that you got going right now. You're juggling a lot of plates, and I think that's what makes this ministry what it is. And everybody can't go to Florida, and everybody can't go to Wisconsin, and everybody can't go to each of these things. But listen, God is tugging on every man and woman's heart to do something and go somewhere and do something. And so we got plenty of people in this queue and across this country that everybody just needs to do and be obedient to what God's telling them to do.
Amen. 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 Plug in where you can, man. Plug in. We're going to start exposing Hell's Hall of Fame. Let's start building us a Christian Hall of Fame. Go to my Facebook page, Jared. I'm sorry, man. I got something I want to share with you, but I'm not going to get time to today. No, I'm not. Jared's got my Facebook page up. I got a couple things I want to show you. This, Jared, first one, go to, is that where I told you? Oh, new. Now let me get on my own page here a second, Jared. Cause I know my own page where I'm supposed to scroll down to. I looked away, Jared. I'm sorry. I looked away. Cause I got so many different videos on here. Yeah. Keep going down there, buddy. Thanks, Jared. No, next one, maybe next one. Keep going. Yeah. That's something else. I got to talk about that. Keep going. Is that? Yes. Yes, Jared. Yes, Jared. Let's go. Jared. No, that's not it. Go next one. Is it this one? You'd think I would have done a better job of this. How long? This isn't very, that's not the right angle. I know it's not it. Keep going. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hey, Jared, go to the, folks, I'm sorry. This is just lousy. Go to the 330 mark. See if there isn't something at the 3. Yeah. Folks, listen, I want you to see this. I was just standing up. First of all, I want you to watch this lady's dead soul. This lady's soul's dead. This is out in front of the clinic. There's 100, 150 of us maybe there. Clinic's closed because the church showed up. Clinic's closed. And this lady comes up holding a sign that says, is abortion a crime? She's holding this sign. And the whole time I'm talking to her, you're going to see this about 5 minutes here. She's emotionless. She's deeply wounded, post-abortive, I would imagine. And I just want you to listen to this exchange that she and I have as she comes walking up. Go ahead, Jared.
That is not true.
I'm from Ohio.
You're from Ohio.
So you're going to promise me this? That you're not going to spread that lie not anymore to anybody else?
There was a woman in Indiana.
No, don't change. Don't go to Indiana. Because you told me a very, very serious
lie. There
was
a bill in
Ohio. Was a bill. What does that mean, there was a bill?
It was a proposed bill.
A proposed bill.
Yes.
So now all of a sudden it went from a bill in Ohio to a proposed bill because I live in Ohio. And I said, that's a lie.
That's what a bill
is. But see, you'll go talk to somebody else and you'll say that same lie over and over again. Because you know why? The only way that you can win is through lies. The only way that you can win. Let me ask you a question. Very simple question. What is murder? What is murder?
Murder is when you take another human being's life.
No, because sometimes it's self-defense, right? Sometimes it's self-defense. Murder is defined as the premeditated, you thought about it, killing of an innocent human being.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
So there was a woman in Indiana named Purvi Patel
who
took abortion pills on her own. She ordered them on the internet.
That's crazy, yeah.
And she was put in jail. She was convicted.
Of what? What was it? Now, listen, I'm going to say something. I'm very leery of what you're telling me because you've already proven you're not honest.
That's accurate.
How do I know that?
You can look it up on your phone.
Right, okay, so you went a different...
P-U-R-V-I-P-A-T-E-L.
You went a different direction on me, see. What is murder? What's her name?
Purvi Patel.
Purvi? Does Purvi have the right to murder a baby?
Do you think it was correct that she went to jail?
Yes. If she was trying to murder a baby, do you think, what if Purvi gave medicine to her born baby and it killed its born baby? Would she be okay then? See,
Absolutely not.
No, so the debate's not whether or not a woman has a right to choose. It's whether or not a woman has a right to commit murder. And she can't go pay a hired assassin in there to kill the baby. If we make abortion about a woman's right to choose, the woman wins. What about a baby's right to live? You don't think a baby has a right to live? Where does the mother get the right to kill her baby? I mean, I'd love to hear that one.
I am a mother.
Would I be allowed to kill your baby?
Absolutely not.
Well, why would you be allowed to?
I never would.
Why are you here?
Because I believe in
somebody else's right to kill a baby. You just said you would never do it.
What about the baby's rights?
Or more importantly, you said you would never do it because you think it's wrong, but some other woman has the right to kill a baby?
Is it correct that people are going to jail for having abortions? Do you think that's right? Because
I think
that's a violation of human rights.
Why do you think that? Why would she be going to jail? What did she do that would be going to jail? Make her go to jail?
She
killed a baby.
She ended her own pregnancy.
She killed a baby. You don't end your own pregnancy. You kill a baby.
She ended her own pregnancy.
And how'd she do that?
How did she used pills.
To do what?
That she ordered on the internet.
To do what?
She ended her pregnancy.
What does that
mean? So the question is that, do you believe that's correct, that she went to jail for doing that?
Do you believe it's killing a baby?
Answer my question.
I will. I believe it's killing a baby, and I think she should pay a price. Do you believe it's a live baby?
Do I believe that abortion
is... Do you believe that a child inside of a woman is a live human being? It's pretty simple. Yes or no? You know what I think? You know it isn't. You know it's not okay.
Do you think that it was a baby? Do you think that they're not murdering babies? Do you see this? These are actual abortions.
So do you think that's a crime?
Do you
not think it's a crime?
Do you think abortion is a crime?
How can you not think it's a crime?
How could you not think
that murdering a baby?
I believe in people's rights to control their own bodies.
But that's not her body.
Even when they use their body to hurt other people's bodies? You support people's right to use their body to hurt other people's bodies? Because that's what they're doing. They're creating new children inside their body, and they're taking their body with the other body inside that killing facility and butchering that other body that they created.
So do you think that the doctors should be going to jail?
They should be executed.
You think they should be executed?
Yes.
Do you think the women should be going to jail?
They should be executed.
They should be executed.
Yes, God's law. If any man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. God's law.
You know that up until 1973, abortion was a crime. That's your sign. It was a crime. It's always been a crime.
And that's an unjust law.
What? Protecting innocent life is an unjust law? You know what I think? I'm not going to argue. I'm going to say this. You've been deeply wounded by something. My mom taught me a long time that misery loves company. And I would say this, that whatever's happened to you, or whatever you've done, there's forgiveness available. And until you learn to forgive, once you learn to forgive, you won't want to kill little babies anymore. You won't want to do that. You know, even in the animal world, the most vile of animals, they don't kill their babies. They don't kill it. Why do human beings do that? Well, because hurt people hurt people.
And I said you wouldn't kill your own baby. And I look in your eyes and I see the pain that you don't even believe. You don't believe that abortion is all about yourself. You don't believe in yourself.
Just look at the picture.
Look at your own children. And then figure why you
I look at my children and I think about
them,
people
right?
who don't respect them. And I'm appalled.
So should we kill all babies that aren't respected?
Should be okay. Exactly.
People that don't respect the rights of little girls. When I look at little girls, I'm horrified by people who oppose abortion.
Like the little girls in the womb who are being slaughtered by their own parents. What about their rights? Why don't you care about them?
You're not opposed by that. You're not disgusted by that.
Hey, George, you can freeze it. Because this thing's about done, and she's going to walk all over. She's going to walk over and join the pro-aborts on the other side. There's a real great teaching moment right here, folks. Two things. Number one, you will never have a conversation like this inside your church. It'll never happen. Lost people are outside the church. And a lot of people blow hard on and on and on about reaching the lost. They're out in front of the abortion clinic. They're not in your church. They're not in your church. All right? And then number two, when we're doing a give and take interrogation like this, this is really, really important. And I heard David Arthur there, and I heard this other guy who was really, really doing a good job. Listen, please don't understand this. When you ask a piercing question, everybody shut up and make them respond. When we pinned her down on whether abortion is murder, don't ask another question because it gives her an out. And remember this, the greatest truth that you ever come to is one in your own mind you've become convinced of. And during this conversation, I'm not criticizing anybody. It's a good teaching moment. During this conversation, when I zeroed in with a great yes or no question, everybody shut up and don't give her a way out. Somebody come on in.
Coach, you can tell just by the pause in her silent what you said. You discerned into her eyes, brother. She had been hurt. She's mm-hmm. probably killed a baby, maybe even sexually assaulted. And you know, by their stunned silence like that, they don't want to answer the question because they know what truth is. Because God says, I no longer write these things on tablets of stone. I have written them on the hearts of man that they know the difference between right and wrong. Her heart is not rocky. Her heart, she's just hurt.
Can somebody, you're right, Dale. Can somebody explain this to me? Because I got some feedback about this. When this gentleman standing beside me said that the abortionist should be executed. And they said, well, what about the woman? And he said, she should be executed. Folks, why shouldn't a mother who kills her baby be executed if we believe it's murder? Somebody help me. Somebody help me see. Because what happens then is we move our focus from the one being executed, the baby being executed, the baby's being executed. We take our attention off of the baby being executed and look at the mother and say, well, she had a good reason to do it. See, until we consider it murder, we're not going to get anywhere in this debate. Somebody come on in.
The trials at Nuremberg, sir. The trials at Nuremberg. They came up that the judges who didn't even kill anybody, they said, yeah, but you knew. They said, oh, we were just obeying the laws of the land. They said, no, you were to protect the innocent. You knew. And, brother, they hung them.
They did. Yep. We're too Christian to do that today, unfortunately. I got another clip. Anybody got anything to say about this? And I got another clip I want to show you here. This is profound. I don't know how to do all this stuff. I got some of these things out of cut up into smaller clips.
because they're just unbelievably powerful. There, my computer came back to life. Okay, now hang on here. Let me see the next one, Jared, because this one's really good. This one is of David Arthur. The folks, this is good. Let me find it there. Okay. I walk up on David. David Arthur is, I have some experience at this clinic. We've been here before. This person that David Arthur is talking to here is a, last time I was there was dressed as a priest. This person was dressed as a priest with a cross around her neck and all that kind of stuff. And as soon as we got out of the car and I walked up, I saw her and I told David, boy, David, here's who that is. That's a tranny over there, David. Oh, except she wasn't a tranny. And David gradually and slowly went over there. Hey, let me tell you something. You won't find her in your church. Those of you looking for lost people that want to get saved, this girl's not going to be in your church. Sorry. Hey, pastors, this girl ain't in your church. You're going to have to go find them. Got to go to the highways and the byways and compel men to come to Christ. So this is a part of another video. It's online. This is David Arthur speaking to this very, very deeply wounded, confused, lost young woman. Go ahead. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
But you don't want to be transgender. That's right. You are not that person because you are married. You are married.
I'm not that transgender. You are married. Son of a bitch. And I don't want to call him
it's
son.
Okay. It's all right.
I should not call
it's
my mom that B-word.
It's okay, but you know what?
My mom's not
this.
A B-word.
Let me say this to you. Listen to me, Mary. Mary, listen to me. Listen to me. What your brother did to you, it's water under the bridge.
I know it is.
But you're the one holding on to it.
So no,
if you
no,
forgive
I'm going,
him,
I'm
if you
forward.
Forgive him and move forward, you know what? You don't forgive him for him. You forgive him for you.
Okay.
You forgive him and yet that releases you.
Okay, for me.
And so when all these temptations come your way, what do?
Like if people tempt
you
me.
You knock them down and you knock them out of your way. And when you stumble and you fall, you get back up.
Yeah, what do
and
I do?
You seek God.
Okay.
But you have to go to a Bible-believing church. You cannot be in one of these buildings that are flying the homosexual flag. They're an apostate church. They're an apostate church. They are promoting what God has called an abomination. They're promoting it. They're promoting. You know what happens. How did you end up so confused? Because you were molested. And know what they call that? Recruited. They call that being recruited into that movement. You need to distance yourself from that movement, and you need to find a Bible-believing church. And you know what? And I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about female ordination or not. There are Bible-believing churches that believe in female ordination, so find you one.
Okay.
Find you one. Just get into the Word. Just seek God. He is as near and as close as you want Him, and allow Him to be.
And I do love God.
Hallelujah.
Some people accuse me of hating God because I support female ordination. Oh, no, that's not their place to judge.
You know what?
Jansenism again.
You know what? You need to stop worrying about what people think and people say.
And I'm against abortion because I support female ordination.
But you learn.
I'm accused of
check this
abortion.
Out. Listen to
no,
me.
No, I hate abortion.
I want you to see how encouraging. I want you to see how encouraged I am right now. I want you to see the progress. You think you can't do it. You've already done. You've already taken some major steps. You were pro-abortion and you thought you were transgender. And now you are pro-life and you know you're not transgender.
That's right. I'm not.
Hallelujah. Do you see that progress?
Yes, I do.
Do you know what a major, major thing that is to God right now? You're forcing your way through the darkness.
It's hard sometimes.
You know what? It don't matter how many demons.
And what do I do if a guy, you know, hey baby girl, you want to have sex with me? Let's go to
you
bed.
You don't do it,
day.
So you don't do it.
But what if I?
Because you know what? The temptation.
What if he says, "Well, I'm the man and you're a woman"?
Well, you know what? Then you.
A real man would not do that.
How about you don't place yourself around those type of people?
That's right.
That's why you find a Bible-believing.
Okay, Jared. Folks, wait a minute. This girl ain't coming to your church. Hey, pastor, she ain't coming to your church.
Coach, can I get you to cut me a link on that? Because that's going to be a little, I've got David coming. I've talked to the church about him, but boy, I would really like to share that segment for everybody at my church to see that before he comes.
Okay. Well, the answer is no, because I don't have a cut links, but it's on my, we'll get it figured. I got this.
I actually have it. I can send it to you, Pastor D.
Thank you, sir.
oh man. They're not coming to our churches, see. They're not coming to our churches. And what I know about Rob, for you to think about is how many seeds you planted, how many people we got out on the street that had never been there before who understand it. And to realize this, that this murderous, wicked, demonic abortion clinic in downtown Milwaukee did not open on Saturday, their largest day of killing. They didn't open because 150 Christians came. They knew we were coming. They didn't open their door. The righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. We don't know how many children were saved. We don't have any idea. We know that a lot of them didn't die. Got 5 minutes. Somebody help me wrap this up. I'm not nearly quick. I got one for you tomorrow.
Coach, yeah. One more great thing that happened that Rusty announced was the live feed that went forth out of Milwaukee reached somebody way over in Louisville, Kentucky that was contemplating having an abortion and changed her mind when she saw that feed.
Yeah, amen. Oh, man.
Hey,
the important thing is just teaching people how to fight the fight. Go ahead, the argument. Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Mark. I was just going to say to both David Arthur and Rob Pugh that even though we don't necessarily follow your church like constantly, the actions that you do make such a huge impact on each of us. Everyone's got different gifts, and we aren't as good as what you do at what you do, David, Rob, Coach. But even though we're not connected as closely as some, we watch, and every one of us learn.
Amen.
And I just want to encourage you to keep doing, because you're great, great men.
Thanks,
and
Mark.
When I went and met Coach last year, it wasn't just Coach I met. It was all the great men doing great work, and I realized that I was not stepping up in comparison to these great men. Rob, you're a great man. David, you're a great man. Amen. But it's important to realize that your work don't go unnoticed, even though people don't give you accolades. And that's just a point I'm making. And we appreciate what you guys are doing. That was an amazing clip, Coach. Thanks for sharing that.
It was amazing. Let me.
Hey, Mark, Coach, Mark. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Mark, I couldn't have put it in any better words, Coach, than what Mark just said. But let me just say this to piggyback on that. You're right, Mark. We can't be what some of these guys, you know, what Coach is, you know, or what Rob is. But we can be something. We can recognize that God has a calling on our life and do something.
Amen.
And I think that's the key. Monkey, here's it. Amen. It's trite, but monkey see, monkey do.
So let me say this as we're running out of time. This is one of the this is as proud a moment as I've had a lot of proud moments, but I want to talk a minute about Ray LeBlanc. I ran into Ray LeBlanc a couple years ago when I hosted one of our events with L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar here in Thornville. Ray LeBlanc shows up in this red van of his, and just being Ray, I didn't know him. I said, hey, man, I need somebody to go pick up some chairs for me. Yeah, I'll go do that, Coach. And I told him where to go, and he took his van. He went down and picked up some chairs. He came back and just kind of hung around. And then he started hanging around more. And then he got in the huddle and got to know him more. And then we would go someplace, and he would show up in Louisville. And then he would show up wherever it was. Ray would show up, and Ray would come. And he was juggling other things that were going on in his life. And he just wanted to be more and more involved. And finally, he transported stuff from Dallas, Texas, drove it all the way up to Ohio, booked for Dizdar to our conference in L.A. Marzulli, and just always a servant, always going and doing, seeing how I can help. Never wanted to be anything, just in the background, just being Ray. And I walked into that event on Friday night in Marshfield, I'm sorry, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Ray LeBlanc was the MC. Ray LeBlanc had moved from the back pew to the front of the church. I just shook my head and said, Lord, you are so good.
Amen.
You are so good, Lord. But here's a guy that wanted to serve you, And he served you and served you and served you and served you and served you. And you haven't elevated him. You haven't promoted him. He's still a servant. But I thank God for the public recognition that was given to Ray LeBlanc Friday and Saturday for the work that he has done, his faithfulness to Rob Pugh and his faithfulness to the Lord and his faithfulness and his willingness to serve and never asking for nothing, just serving. Faithful men, fellas. Faithful men. Don't miss tomorrow. I got some great stuff for you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.